May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In today's Gospel, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Good words to ponder on Remembrance Sunday as we call to mind those who have died in wars in the past and those who are suffering and dying in wars today, and as we pray for the peace of the world. These words of Jesus are one of a series of sayings known as the Beatitudes that define key characteristics of those who follow him, living in this world with their hearts set on God's ways. All these sayings have the same two-part structure. First, blessed are. So, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers. And then in the second part, Jesus describes God's perspective on such people, what God will do for them, what God says about them. For they will receive mercy from God. For they will see God. For they will be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. I'll come back later to the first part, blessed are the peacemakers, and what that says about how we are called to live. I'll focus first on the second part. Peacemakers will be called children of God. And the background idea here is that children reflect the character, the way of living of their parents. But the point here is not how the character of human parents is reflected in their children, but how the character and the activity of God are reflected in those who follow his ways. In a nutshell, God is a God of peace, so his children live in peace and make peace. In the Bible, peace is a defining attribute of God. God is the God of peace, not just giving peace, but existing in peace. God is eternally the God of love and joy and peace, abundant life in harmony forever, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God pours out on his creation the blessings of love and joy and peace. So we start today with this God of peace. But God's creation, God's world as we actually know it, is not at peace. In ourselves, the human race, we see God's good creation gone far astray, losing touch with the love and joy and peace that God is eternally and that God wants to share with us. So there's an almost unbearable tension in our faith. We are created by the God of peace to live at peace with God and one another, but we turn from God and lose God's peace. And what's true for us as individuals is true more widely of the human family, which is torn apart by conflict. Nevertheless, we still long for peace with God and with one another, and our hearts are restless without it. Today's first reading from the prophet Micah reflects this longing for the peace of God to transform this violent world. Micah hopes for a world reshaped by the God of peace, where swords are beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. A wonderful vision of how weapons of war that kill and maim countless people are turned into tools for farmers, tools to bring in food for everyone, where all the resources that fuel war go instead into building peace and well-being, so that everyone may sit under their own vines and fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid. Micah longs for the God of peace to draw the world into the ways of peace. Turning to the New Testament, as Christians, we believe that this God of peace has come more fully into focus for us by stepping into the midst of this world in the person of Jesus Christ. We recognize Jesus as the Prince of Peace, described by the prophet Isaiah. St. Paul writes that Jesus came and proclaimed peace to all. We read many stories of Jesus bringing peace to all kinds of disturbed, frightened, unpeaceful people. And he weeps over Jerusalem because he knows it doesn't understand what makes for peace. In Jesus, the God of peace is present in this world with tears in his eyes because his peace is rejected. But the heart of the gospel is that in Jesus, God absorbs this rejection and turns it to the world's blessing, because it's above all in the weakness, suffering, and death of Jesus that the God of peace acts in the power of love to reconcile the world to himself and to draw together in peace the divided peoples of the world. So Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Lord, is our peace. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." God is the God of peace, the peacemaking God, and we see fully what that means in Jesus. Jesus is the eternal Son of God, the perfect child of God, the Prince of Peace. In him, the character and the action of God, the peacemaker, are seen perfectly. But Jesus, it's very important, Jesus is not a solitary maestro in isolated perfection. That would only depress us because of how infinitely unlike him we are. No, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, draws us into who he is and into what he does. He takes us by the hand and calls us his sisters and brothers, teaching us to call his Father our Father. So by baptism and faith in Jesus, we are adopted as children of God. And God wants us, his beloved children, to be like him, like Jesus, shaped by his peace and becoming channels of his peace in this world. So what then will it look like for us to be peacemakers following in the way of Jesus? Great question to ask on Remembrance Sunday, as we pray for the peace of the world. And soon I'm going to address that question at the level of ordinary people, like most of us, with little or no access to the kind of political, diplomatic, military, financial, or other types of power which might directly influence and even solve situations of conflict in the world. But before we turn to ourselves and our own daily situations, let's recognize that some people do have that kind of power and influence, and particularly we should remember to pray for those who hold high political office. Our reading today from Paul's first letter to Timothy tells us to pray for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. Now, politics is not everything. It cannot fix everything. But politics is important in the eyes of God, because wise, honest, compassionate politicians, along with others influential in public life, can be a very great blessing to their people. And the opposite is, of course, also true. God cares about politics and public life, and so should we. So we pray that God will guide the rulers of the nations, of Switzerland and other nations to which we belong. And especially at this tumultuous time, we pray for the rulers of the world's great powers, that they will seek not only the good of their own people, but also the peace of the world and justice and well-being for all its people. One important point in passing here, I've been speaking of the motivation and the obligation to seek peace that flow from our faith in Jesus Christ. But please understand, that isn't to suggest at all that peace and peacemaking are Christian monopolies. Christians are often, let's be honest, very far from being peacemakers, and people of other faiths or none can be outstanding peacemakers. Think of the Hindu leader, Mahatma Gandhi, for example. He paid with his life for his commitment to peace, to reconciliation across political and religious boundaries. We as Christians are called by our Lord to seek peace and pray for it, where God inspires others to be courageous and effective in peacemaking. We thank God for them and we pray for them. But coming back finally to us ordinary folk who may feel we have very little power or influence, what does the peacemaking described by Jesus mean for us? Well, as well as praying for peace and for the leaders of the nations, we can also use our rights as citizens to vote, sometimes also to campaign in favor of politicians and causes that we believe will best align with the purposes of the God who wants peace and justice for all people. Of course, we won't always agree on who are the politicians and causes deserving our support as Christians, but we must at least ask ourselves this question, because in carrying out our responsibilities as citizens, as in everything else in our lives, we should be motivated by the commandments to love God and to love our neighbors in this land and beyond, remembering that the peace and security we hope and indeed expect for ourselves and our children, we should also expect and pray for and demand for all our neighbors in this world. So as Christians, we should ask ourselves, to what forms of political commitment are we pointed by those two great commandments to love God and neighbor, and by the call of Jesus to be peacemakers? But again, politics is not everything, and it would be quite wrong in thinking about peacemaking to limit ourselves to political questions. For most of us, most of the time, the call of Jesus to be peacemakers challenges us most directly and sometimes in the most difficult ways in the daily realities of our relationships with our spouses, our families, our friends, our colleagues at work, and also with our sisters and brothers in Christ in the church community. I expect most of us can think of relationships in which we're involved or between other people close to us which have been damaged by conflicts that have not been resolved and may have been causing pain for many years. In some cases, if we're honest, we know we have contributed significantly to these problems. In other cases, we may have been wronged and badly hurt. Or again, we may be aware of conflicts between others, which we haven't caused, but which weigh on our hearts and minds. In all such situations, can we ask ourselves the question and bring it before God in prayer, what does it mean for me that Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God? How can I be a peacemaker? Well, sometimes to be peacemakers, we need to apologize and ask for forgiveness. Or we may feel we have to tell someone they have hurt us badly, which may be the right thing to do, but also a very difficult prospect, perhaps requiring someone else's help to mediate. Sometimes we may have to discern if we should try to mediate ourselves in a conflict between others. The prospect of trying to make peace can be frightening, embarrassing, confusing. We may leave these situations in the too difficult tray for years on end. And even if we try and pray for God's help, no guarantee that we will succeed. I think of one situation in which I largely failed in my attempt to be a channel of peaceful communication between two people close to me whose relationship had broken down terribly. It's a very uncomfortable place to be, and to put it mildly, people don't always appreciate your efforts when you're standing between two people who are very angry with each other. Could I have done better? God alone knows, though I suspect that mediation of this kind is not my forte. But some people do have the disposition, the gifts, and indeed, I believe, the calling from God to play that kind of peacemaking role in a very specific, intentional way. And I think gratefully of someone who did so very effectively in a situation of painful conflict within a church community, which was my fault, between another Christian and me. She carefully prepared a meeting between the two of us that was very effective in helping us to be reconciled. It is a wonderful thing to be involved in that kind of experience of the making of peace. Churches sometimes badly need peacemaking of that kind among their own members if they are to be genuine Christian communities. What does it look like if we pray for the peace of the world out there, but cannot live in peace among ourselves right here? We're gathered here in church in the name of Jesus Christ. In him, the God of peace has stepped into our world to proclaim peace to all. The world isn't very good at hearing that message and receiving the gift of God's peace. Frankly, neither are we much of the time. But our Lord Jesus continues to greet us with the words, "Peace be with you," and calls us to share that greeting with each other and live it out in our lives. So as God's beloved children, we pray that we may learn to live in peace with one another, to have the courage to make peace when that's necessary, and to pray and work for peace for all our neighbors in God's world. Amen.